Right, question to start us off with this morning. So to the person next to you, I would like to discuss the meaning of your name, if you know it. If you don't know it, you'll have to make one up. Meaning of your name, off you go. Names are important. I remember distinctly there was the moment where we had to register Boaz's birth, and you go to a somewhat dingy room in Colchester Library. It's a very surreal experience. We're standing there in the dingy room of Colchester Library, and the woman turns to us and was like, "What is his name?" And for the first time, I had this crushing sense of responsibility. Even if you've named a pet, you feel responsible, but this is like a full-on human, like this poor kid. And you realise the name I'm about to say, the next word I'm about to say, is going to follow this child for the rest of their life. A little bit of me wanted to just pick something absolutely ridiculous. I mean, like, I'm still going for I just think that would be such a good name. And I was so tempted to say it. She'd say, "How do you say it?" And I'd say, "Oh, you spell it N-G exclamation mark E-A-U." But Chanty said I wasn't allowed to do that. And we've called ourselves folks. But that feeling of responsibility, it wasn't just because he's going to follow it, but names are important, aren't they? Like, I can imagine, you probably remember your nicknames from school, be that for good reasons or for bad reasons. The name that you give yourself, when people change their name, that's a significant thing. And the third commandment, as we've just heard from Ruth, says, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain." Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, I've been doing some research for this series. I was reading a book like J. John's 10, listening to some pastors, you know, I like Shane Willard, people like Richard Rohr, like a couple of others, who've written about this. Most sermons I have listened to about this particular commandment, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain," are essentially saying, "Do not blaspheme." Yeah? Have we heard this before? Do not blaspheme. Like, don't replace a swear word with the name for God. That's what next English. Thank you. That's basically what it means. Okay. I don't think it means that. Remember last week, we were talking about idols, weren't we? Idols. Now, just a quick show of hands to see if anyone listens to me. In the last week, has anyone gone and purchased a small Asher pole or small model of a god in order to worship it at home? Excellent. So my sermon was put spot on. We've made a difference. But you'll remember last week that when God says, "Don't have any idols before me," it's not just about getting a picture of God or a god or getting a small wooden carving and worshipping, is it? When it says, "Do not worship an idol," it's not just talking about worshipping a shrine in your house. It's about something bigger than that. Do not worship idols is a sense that do not take something that's meant to remind you of God and replace God with it. Do not limit God. Do not shrink God into a box. Do not think that God can be here and not there. Do not try and manipulate God by rubbing your cross or kissing it and thinking then God will answer you. Do not twist God's arm. Do not shrink God. Do not think that you are God and he is not. Because the idol commandment is not just about little bits of wood. The idol commandment is about how do we shrink God. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Okay, I do need to point out that I don't like blasphemy. All right, this isn't like a carte blanche. Like, I don't like it. I don't think it's respectful. I was talking to Annie about this week, and she said her favourite response, if she's having a haircut or something, her favourite response that she's heard, if someone says, "Oh my God," she turns and she said, "Oh, you know him too." I think that's great. Feel free to use that. I don't like it. It saddens me when the word Jesus is used more as a swear word than it is when discussing God. It saddens me. But I do not think that the third commandment, the third most important commandment, the thing that God has said from the Mount Sinai, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain," is about your vocabulary. Let me put it another way. I think you can spend your whole life never using Jesus' name as a swear word, but blaspheming by the way you live. I don't think it's about language. I think it's about the way that you live. Bit of Hebrew for you. The word "take" that we heard, as Ruth read, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain." "Take" is the Hebrew word "nasa." Don't know how you pronounce it, but I'm going to run with "nasa" or whatever. "Nasa," it's not anything to do with language. It means to bear. It means to support. It means to sustain. It means to endure. It means to carry.
So how do you carry God's name? This isn't about what words do you speak. This is how do you carry God's name? How do you carry it? How do you bear it? When people see your life, how are you representing the name of God?
There's a good bit of the Bible in 2 Corinthians, and I love an analogy or a metaphor, where Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. Why did the ambassador not get sick? He had diplomatic immunity. Never mind. Moving on. That's the only ambassador joke I could find. Anyway, we're ambassadors of Christ. And when Paul's writing this, we are ambassadors of Christ, then what he is not saying is that we live our lives eating Ferrero Rochers. What he's not saying is that we spend our time parking on double yellow lines because no one can arrest us. When Paul says we are ambassadors of Christ, what he's saying is that you are carrying a name that isn't yours. So the job of an ambassador is to live in a foreign country and to represent another king. An ambassador lives in one place but carries the nationality and the name and the kingdom of somewhere else. So when an ambassador does something wrong, it doesn't just represent badly on them, does it? It represents badly on the country that they represent. Every now and then it'll make the news that, I don't know, Djibouti ambassador has done something scandalous. And that reflects badly on the entire nation. When a nation does something wrong, if you ever watch any of the political shows like West Wing or anything like that, get me the ambassador on the phone. Why? Because the job of the ambassador is to represent another kingdom in that kingdom. So my question to you this morning is, how are you carrying the name of God? If Paul says you are an ambassador of Christ, if you are carrying and reflecting a name of God, how do you do that? When people look at you, how does it reflect on God? How are you carrying the name? There was a story about a policeman who pulled over a car and he knocked on the window and he said, oh, I need to see your proof of ownership. The driver said, why? Said the policeman said, well, look, I thought this car was stolen. And the driver said, why? And the policeman said, well, because you've got a fish on the back and the language you were using at those traffic lights would suggest that maybe you're not a Christian. And when when people know that we're Christians, especially when people know that we're followers, how is the way that we are acting reflecting on the name of God? Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not carry the name of the Lord in such a way as to bring dishonour to God. I've got a mate who works for a bank. And one afternoon, he got such a cool job. He was telling me about what he'd been up to recently. He said, oh, this was the best bit of the last few months. Like, his bank were doing a fundraiser, as big banks do, and they were raising money for children in need. And therefore, they needed a Pudsey the Bear. And so my mate, for an afternoon, got me Pudsey the Bear. How cool is that? Forget the rest of his banking CV. I'll put that right at the top. Pudsey the Bear for an afternoon. Incredible. I was fascinated. It's like, you've got to be Pudsey. I mean, were you tempted to go over and like kick someone then? Well, just to make the national... He was much more holy than I am, clearly. But and he was telling me, no, you can't do anything. I mean, there's like a massive list of things you are not allowed to do as Pudsey the Bear. Like, I don't think you're allowed to talk. You're certainly not allowed to like go and do anything at all that could be controversial. You can't be seen in certain places. Why? For fear that it would reflect badly on children in need. He was telling me it's an incredible... He had to go and get changed. That if someone saw him like with just his head on, that would be terrible. So he had to go and like go fully changed and then come out fully Pudsey. Interesting, isn't it? He had to be fully Pudsey or he's not allowed to be Pudsey at all. Couldn't just wear the head. I was thinking about what that means to be an ambassador. Got to be fully in. You've got to be fully... representing God. Well, you can't do it at all. How often do we wear like half of the costume? How often are we ambassadors on a Sunday? Ambassadors are a full-time job. You don't do 9 to 5, you are always an ambassador. Because you always are representing a kingdom that's beyond this world. You are always representing a king.
You are always carrying the name of God. The question is, how do you carry it? There's this list of stuff he can't do because he can't act as Pudsey and it reflect badly on children in need. If we carry the name of God, we need to act in a way that brings honour to him. Do not take, do not carry, do not bear, do not sustain the name of the Lord in vain. Yes, it's to do with language. Obviously, watch what you say. But it's much more about how you live your life. How you're an ambassador. How you represent something that's beyond this world. And it's also quite exciting. Because when you think about the job of an ambassador, which Paul says we are, if you're an ambassador, people legitimately listen to you, don't they? That's why they throw on big parties and give you Ferrero Rocher, because it's like, it's a big deal when the ambassador's in town. Because if the ambassador says it, it's not just the ambassador speaking. It carries the full weight of the country that they're coming from. Like, in this, when you turn on the news or whatever, when the French ambassador says something, you're like, oh, we better listen. Not just because this little old fellow has said so. No, it's because he carries the full weight of the French government on his shoulders in this country. So when he speaks, people listen. Equally, for us, we carry the power of another kingdom, don't we? We carry that weight. If we are legitimately Christ's ambassadors, we carry the power and the authority of a kingdom that belongs to Christ. Often, I offer to pray for people. And people will come to me and they'll say, oh, I'm having this going on, this going on, this going on. And I will say, can I pray for you? And do you know what I normally pray for, beyond anything else, is I pray for peace. I pray for peace. Nearly always. Now, I have got no peace to offer. I am not an expert in peace. I have not been to university to learn about how to impart peace to people. I'm not even often a very peaceful person myself. But why do I pray for peace? Because I carry the authority of another kingdom. I have got no peace to offer, but I represent a God who does. When I'm praying, it's not because I've got extra peace. It's not because I'm really chilled and zen and suddenly you can come up to me and get... No. It's because I pray for peace because I believe that as I pray, it comes with the power of a kingdom that's beyond this one. When we pray for peace, we do it in the name of Jesus. Not because we've got any peace, but because we know a God who does. And so I would encourage you this morning. You can carry the name of God. You can pray for people for peace. Not because you've got any, but because you represent a God who does. Not because you've got more peace than anyone else, but because you're an ambassador. Because you carry the authority and the weight of a kingdom that is beyond this one. When Peter and John meet a crippled beggar, he's asked them for some money, as crippled beggars would. And he says, this silver and gold I've none, but what I have I share with you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised this man from the dead, that this man stands before you healed, they explained later. In the name of Jesus. If we can be slow to anger, if we can be abounding in love, if we can be merciful and gracious and kind, if we can show compassion and forgiveness, if we can live like God intended, then we honour the name of God that we carry. In John 20 it says this, these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. We are blessed with incredible authority. We are blessed with incredible potential. We are blessed with a kingdom's resources that are beyond our own. We carry the name of God. Almost regardless whether or not you want to, you still carry it. My question to you is not whether you will, it's how you will. How will you carry the name of God? When people see you, will they see a Christ-like figure, abounding in love and slow to anger? Because as my mum was telling me, she's preaching next week, which I'm very excited for her for. She was saying, my talk is not about why we should have faith in God said, my talk is about how God has faith in us. Because we are Christ's ambassadors. We have been entrusted with this kingdom.
Let's pray. Father, we are sorry for the times we have taken your name in vain. We know that's not just about our language, but about how we live. We're sorry for the times when we have carried your name in a way that didn't honour you. God, we thank you that you have faith in us, that you have entrusted us with your message and your kingdom, that we are ambassadors of you, Christ, that we carry something with us, that the way we act to our family and to our friends and in our workplaces and in our home, something about that carries the authority and the power of the kingdom of Jesus. We thank you that we can pray for peace, not because we have extra or we are special, but because we carry something of your kingdom. So I pray we would have your boldness, knowing that we live under your authority. I pray that we would know your peace, your joy, your help, your Holy Spirit, who guides us and carries us, that we would live a life worthy of you. Father, I ask that this week we would carry your name well. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.